Well, I'm stuck in traffic. The bridge is out or something up ahead, and people are panicking around me, and they're jamming the off-ramps, and they're crossing the meridian, and I'm just sitting here. Anyway, since I'm sitting here, I thought, oh, let's fire up this recorder and do a podcast, or at least start one. So the topic I wanted to touch upon on this episode is the thought that the stuff that you own at some point ends up owning you. And let me tell you how I came to this conclusion. It's not my idea. I think I got it from the movie Fight Club, but it's true. You see, here I was working a good job, making a good income, and doggone it, I had to spend that money. I had to spend it on something, right? And so I was mesmerized by all the commercials for all the new stuff and the store displays of all the new stuff. I had to buy all the new stuff. I had to get the latest gadgets. I had to get the coolest computer equipment. I had to buy all this crap and fill my house up. And I was paying for that house. I was paying for the space to store the stuff that I was buying. So once you buy it, that's not the end of the expense. You have to pay the expense of owning and keeping it. Now, I'm not saying that if you buy something and it gives you value, it's like you use it every day and it gives you joy, it's a tool to give you joy in life. Well, yeah, that's fine. But if you buy something because it's shiny, or looks nice, or whatever, and then you put it in your closet and you don't even look at it for a year, well, that's not something you need. And if you fill your house up with that, well, that stuff has ended up owning you instead of the other way around, because you have this obligation to your stuff. It's holding you there. It's an anchor that holds you there. I guess that's fine for some people, but what happened to me is I went through a divorce, and for some reason I just at some point, and this is even before I came up with the concept of the stuff owning me, I didn't want to own anything anymore. It was tying me down. And apparently this is not uncommon. So I started selling everything. Everything that was still mine in the divorce, save for a very few items, the things that I used daily and gave me great pleasure, I ended up selling. And this included things that I collected. And when it was all gone, I felt so much better. My life felt lighter and fluffier. And as you can probably tell by the road noise, that the traffic jam is cleared up and I'm almost to work. So I'll continue this in a bit with Dan.
I don't actually improvise, man. It's not like sitting at home, I can tell you that. It's not like playing at home by yourself.
Hello and welcome to Zombie Beach.
Wow, dude, seriously, that music just reminded me of like a Rastafari and a hamster on crack.
Rastafarian? It was jazz, I think.
Well, I know, but it just had a Rasta thing going. I just had this picture of a hamster with these dreads with one of those, you know, green, yellow, and red knit caps on, just running through the wheel like with little red slitted eyes. I don't know.
Lord. You just reminded me of the hamster dance.
Oh, dude. No, seriously.
No, I am not playing a clip.
No, you. But you could post a link to the video, perhaps.
Oh, nah. I think everybody's seen it.
How are you, Jerry?
I'm doing okay, Dan.
What's tonight's topic, Jerry?
Tonight's topic is a rather deep one, I think.
Yes.
The things you own end up owning you.
Oh, a very timely topic, I might add.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, the first inkling I got of that was actually from a movie called Fight Club.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. Edward Norton and Brad Pitt.
Yeah, he comes to the conclusion that the things he owned ended up owning him, and so he, or at least his alter ego, blows the apartment up.
Yes. Which is, I mean, a novel idea. You know, I don't really recommend it, because if you don't really own your apartment, then that could lead to some serious, serious problems.
Well, that did kind of happen to me in a way, because I've been a serious collector.
Yeah, well, yes, same here. I've, yes.
I bet it just happened to you, too. Divorce does that to one, doesn't it?
You know what's funny? Even though after my divorce and I moved out of the house, and I would have sworn to you that I pared down my stuff so much. Looking at my garage now and the multitude of boxes of crap that is in there. I mean, I've got, when I worked for the Volkswagen magazine, I have boxes of like Farfig Nugent bumper stickers and buttons and just crap that I mean, and here's my logic. I don't want to throw it away because I'm going to sell it on eBay.
Well, you know, funny you said that. That's exactly what I did. I had...
You sold all my Farfig Nugent stuff on eBay? No, bastard. No. I want my money. I want my $2.
No, it's all mine, dude. No, actually, I collected Hot Wheels.
Like a madman.
Philip K. Dick books by the writer Philip K. Dick.
Yes.
Vinyl records, VCR tapes, which I wasn't able to sell. But during the divorce, or actually especially right after the divorce, I decided I wanted to be free of all this stuff that was holding me down and keeping me from moving around. And so I sold it all on eBay. All of it.
Every last bit.
Every bit. And I got an amazing amount of money for especially the vinyl records. I wasn't expecting that. I thought maybe $1 a piece.
Really?
You see, I kept them all in really pristine condition, right?
Oh, see, that's the key right there.
And a lot of them were first issues, though I never paid attention to that. So I had the complete collection of, like, Led Zeppelin.
And
things of that nature. And there were bidding wars on those that just blew me away.
Yeah, it's amazing what people actually pay money for on eBay. I mean, no, vinyl records I can see. I mean, there's some nostalgic and intrinsic value to it, to having the entire set of pristine vinyl Led Zeppelin albums. I could see if you were a diehard Led Zeppelin fan, you know, and you had the Swan Song logo tattooed on your back, that you would want the entire selection in pristine condition. What? So I how much did you get for those? Do you remember? Or?
Well, I know that the least amount I got for one of them was $25.
Dude.
And it went up from there.
That's pretty amazing.
When I was a kid, I mean, even when I was a kid, I collected lizards.
Right.
You know?
I remember that. I remember doing the lizards.
Really? Even okay. And
well, you used to tell me about them. You used to send them up in rockets and crap.
True. And I used to put them down in submarines. But as a teen, I collected beer bottles. And what is this about us that makes us, you know, need to collect things? Is it a hoarding instinct or what?
You know, I went through that that phase. After my divorce, I went through this hoarding thing, and I won't tell you what I hoarded over the free airwaves, just because I'm sure federal law. Boy, that really sets it up to sound really horrible. Like porn. I've got not porn. I don't even know how to say this without saying something. Well, let's just put it this way: that if I had a pirate's hat, that I would be on the good ship felony, exactly. So I don't know why, but it's like I was trying to find different albums or movies that from my youth that brought me comfort, and it was like this weird mentality that I had to have every single one.
Oh. I know what you're talking about. I kind of did the same thing.
Though, did you really?
Yeah, Netflix was my friend.
Okay, all right. Now, yes, absolutely. And it's like, I don't know what it was. There was some intrinsic comfort value in having those things close by. Even though, for God's sakes, I mean, let's be serious. 85 gigabytes of music.
Yeah.
When am I going to have the time to listen to all 85 gigabytes of music in one sitting? Now, random songs here and there, absolutely. But, well, let's even take it a step further. I've got out in the garage a collection of buttons, like pin-on buttons, you know, that you know, like vote. I've got one when Hank Aaron hit his 150th home run or whatever the world record was at that time. I've got a Richard Nixon button. And it's like, do I need these things? No, I don't need these things, but it's like, it kind of freaks me out about thinking about getting rid of them. Cause I don't know whether there's an emotional attachment or a spiritual attachment, whatever it is, but it freaks me out to think about selling them on eBay or getting rid of them. Like I'm giving a kidney. You know what I'm saying? It's just this weird deal. I don't know what it is, Jerry, that causes people to collect. I mean, there's the creepy people that go out and collect all the Norman Rockwell plates and have them hanging on their wall. But, well, no, that is creepy. I was trying to justify that. No, that's really pretty creepy. I can't really see it.
Well, even now, I still have that compulsion. I mean, but what I've really tried to do is limit myself to collecting things that I can store on my computer. Like, you know, well, obviously I collect pictures that I take.
Right.
So I've got a huge collection of pictures. I seem to collect domain names.
Right.
Yeah, it's because I got, 20 websites out there. I collect, like you, MP3 files.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, this kind of stems back from when I used to collect beer bottles. Because, you know, as a teenager, I loved beer, still do. And I wanted a memento for every single one I tried. So instead of keeping the beer bottles now, I do a little review of them up on groovybrew.com, and that's my memento for the beer.
Oh.
So in a way, that's okay. A collection as well. But here's the thing that bothers me. This is a very human thing, this desire to collect and hoard these things.
Yes.
And companies out there, this is a whole cottage industry that feeds off of this. There's companies out there that make items that are collectible and get people hooked on them, and it's like a drug.
Well, I think you can let...
They do that to kids.
Absolutely. Well, it's like...
Pokemon cards.
Oh, dude.
You know?
Pokemon cards, seriously.
And that's not... I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards that my kids collect,
right? Or Dragon Ball Z, or what? All this anime stuff.
Oh yeah, and remember Beanie Babies?
Oh good lord! Now how sad is this? I've got probably about 12 Beanie Babies. I call them Beanie Baby rejects because they're kind of the weird offbeat ones, like the lobster and the spider yeah. And the armadillo, and you know all the ones that wouldn't be the big sellers. It's like I kind of gravitated toward those, and I start buying them. And how stupid it! Now here. Let's talk about this. Something that maybe you weren't into, but somebody gave you one, and then your friends saw that you had one and automatically thought that you were into that and started giving them to you. Now, that happened with me and armadillos.
Oh, I remember that.
Yes, I don't have a real strong affinity for armadillos.
I just remembered you really liked that one stuffed one you had.
Yes, absolutely. Well, now here's the funny thing about that. That one was way later in the game. When I moved to Stockton, Mike McShane gave me this one stuffed armadillo that had been flattened to put on a board, and the back was halfway caved in, and so I stuck an air fern in it and used it on the wall as like a decorative thing. I thought it was just funny. It was campy. It was kind of like going to TGA Fridays, right? Someone came over to my apartment, saw it on the wall, and assumed that I liked armadillos. So they gave me some stuff. So then I had two things. It's like a freaking Petri dish of armadillos. And it started multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And pretty soon, dude, like no fooling, I had puzzles and shot glasses and pins and buttons and books. I had a freaking pop-up book about Arnie the Armadillo. And it's like, I wasn't even that into him. Now I'm into him just because I've pared it down and I've still got my two stuffed ones because, you know, I like terrorizing, you know, my stepchildren with them. But it's just so funny that you can be a collector of things without even being into the thing that you've, by proxy, you've started collecting.
That is funny.
And sad, really, because I had three or four boxes of armadillo crap lying around the garage, and I finally had to start getting rid of it because, well, I had to make room for my cheetah collection that I was...
Hey, tell you what, let's take this opportunity to bring Dave from Australia in.
Oh, please, bring our friend from down under in.
Because he collects koalas and kangaroos.
Does he really?
I don't know.
That's really not a good thing.
Hey, dude.
How's it going?
Oh, my God, you sound horrible. Not you personally, but the connection for some reason.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
I don't know. David, how are things in Australia?
Well, it's finally stopped raining.
When did it start raining?
Oh, about a month ago.
Oh, so wow. We're talking monsoon rains.
Yeah, we've had a lot of localized flooding, so yeah, it hasn't been too good, but it's cleared up now.
Well, that's good.
Now we're just scraping rust off ourselves.
Nice.
Well, we're talking about collecting and how things that you own end up owning you because you're kind of tied down by them. And I remember you and I spoke recently, and you said something about collecting guitars.
Yes, I have an array of guitars. I have 3 6-string guitars, 1 bass, 2 amps, more leads than a real estate agent,
right.
and a ton of effects pedals.
Now, here's my question to you, Dave. So you're collecting guitars, right? Now, this is not a small item.
No.
This is not like collecting, like, pogs
beer caps.
Right, or autographed pictures of Yul Brynner. This is like a very large item. Now, where do you have a separate room for these? I mean, has it taken over your life to where you've had to actually designate one room of your home for just your guitars and crap?
No. A lot of them are hung up on the walls.
Oh, almost like artwork.
Yeah. You get these wall mounts, wall thingies, and then you just hang them up.
Oh, yeah. That's actually very cool.
That is.
Yeah, it does. It looks great. It's a great effect. And in the amps, we have a big shed in the backyard where the tools are and the camping gear. And then there's a
you,
big
you put your amplify
floor.
You put your amplifiers in a tool shed?
Yeah, but it's almost like a house. It's a regular building.
Oh, okay. Well, dude, if the economy gets any worse here, I may come live there.
No problem.
Thank you. I don't have any guitars, so there will be no competing.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, his guitars sound actually more like a practical thing, and it's not like something that he's owning that holds him down. It's something that brings him joy and that he actually uses. I think that there's a difference there.
There is. Now, Dave, do you collect anything that would be considered, like, not frivolous, but, I mean, something that is not like a necessity for your life?
No, not really.
Well, here's the thing. David moves around a lot, and he's been all over the world. He's already in the mindset of traveling light, I bet. Is that right, Dave?
No, it's I've lived in Australia for nearly 19 years, believe it or not. And so I've become fairly sedentary, and I've got shitloads of books and computers and DVDs and TVs and
right.
blah, 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 blah. So I don't really move around that much anymore. It's too much of a bother to do it. So, yeah, I've sort of started to collect, it just seems to go. So about every 6 months, I tend to do a cull, and I just get rid of, if I haven't monkeyed with it for 10 years, then, a couple of years, and I throw it away. Although, Pat has done a very good job in sending me a bunch of homies.
Those homies.
Homies are fun, yes. Funny thing, I actually collected those for about a year and a half.
Yeah, so I've got a whole box full of homies.
Well, those are good. Hang on to those, because one day those are going to be worth about as much as the box they're in. You could probably sell them on eBay, I'm pretty sure.
I'll have to pay them to take it away, but you know.
Right, exactly. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Well, hey, Dave, we're going to let you go. We're going to let you go because it's kind of hard to hear you, so I'm not sure how much of this we're going to be able to use.
How is that? Is that better?
No, it sounds like you're talking through a cardboard tube under a car.
In a plane.
Funny you should mention that, because that's what I'm doing.
Oh, so that explains it.
Wow. Well, so much for flying the friendly Skype.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, Dave.
Well, that was Dave.
Yes, that was Dave. He's appeared here before, but we've never mentioned exactly who he was.
Yes, because of the federal injunction lobbied against him.
Yes.
Now they know where he's at. They're going to be a big SWAT raid at the fish and chips place. That would be actually kind of funny. I would really like to see a video of that. Actually, that would be kind of hilarious. Well, that was good. I'm glad we got to talk to Dave about collecting, because he really had not a whole lot to say about it.
Yeah. Well, let me see if I can get Melanie to come in here.
Yeah, get Melanie. She might collect things. Oh, speaking of which, dude, did you see that?
What?
Obama vibrator?
No.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
It's called the stimulus.
The Obaminator?
It's called the stimulus package.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. It was pretty scary. I'll see if I can find it and send you a link to it. It's pretty disgusting.
Okay, I'm not going to post it on our site, but I might put it out on Wicked Glee.
Yeah, put it on Wicked Glee. It's definitely a Wicked Glee thing.
Okay.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yes, joining us is Melanie, my co-host from
Hello.
Don't Quit Your Day Job.
Hello, Melanie.
Hello, pumpkins. Hello, Dan. How are you?
If I was any better, I would be you.
I like it. You haven't washed and brought to my tent.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
We are talking about things that you own ending up owning you, or just things that you compulsively collect. I was wondering, do you collect anything?
Oh, what do I collect anything?
You collect books. British science fiction tapes. Right?
Yes, we do have quite the collection of British science fiction DVDs. This is true. This is also because I am married to a bodacious Brit who gets care packages regularly from Amazon.co.uk.
Oh, very good. Okay. See, when you said we, I thought it was maybe another personality or something, and I was just going to be real quiet for a while.
No, it's her and the cats.
It's her and the cats, no. Yes. It's like the Borg. It's the collective we.
It's horrible. When I first met her, for like the first month, she kept on talking about her husband, who was still overseas at the time. And so we started calling him her imaginary husband. And, and it was meant in fun, but I think we started hurting her feelings. And I'm so sorry about that.
No, you did. No, you referred to him as my emergency holographic husband.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes.
Now,
it was.
He wasn't like a mail order husband, was he?
Oh, no.
You didn't have to get like one of those websites and like.
No, this guy's real. As real as you can get.
Really? Okay.
He's awesome.
Thank you, honey. I think so too.
Have you actually met this person, Jerry?
Oh yeah, yeah. If I were gay, I'd be after him.
Wow.
Okay.
Well,
there you go.
Well, thanks for coming to Zombie Beach, everyone. We're going to be closing down now.
Jerry, save it for our show. Come on.
Oh, okay, okay.
This is quite a bit of fun. Now, thank you so much for coming over and, well, to the dark side and talking with us here at Zombie Beach. I have listened to your podcast, and it actually is very entertaining.
Thank you, my darling. And if you think this is the dark side, you don't know me very well, do you?
Oh, no,
actually, I think the other side is the dark side.
Yes.
The darker side.
This is a lighter shade of dark.
Okay. It's very appropriate that I'm on Zombie Beach tonight because I actually just got one of the classic zombie movies in the mail from Amazon today.
Which one?
Reanimator.
Oh,
I love the Reanimator series.
I adore that series. I adore the series. I adore Jeffrey Combs. I adore everything that comes out of Stuart Gordon's crazy little hands. So
Jeffrey Combs is an amazing actor, and I think he's totally underrated. And I just wish there were more substantial, meaty roles for him.
Oh, Christ. I wish they'd give him more of a chance to do comedy. He is so funny.
He does have a great dry sense of humor to him. I mean, even in the Reanimator films, where he is trying to be kind of twisted, demented, but yet he's got this sense of humor underneath that really doesn't get a chance to shine.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I was laughing all through that movie. Well, I've got that kind of a sense of humor.
Yeah. It's very much black humor. He was very funny in The Frighteners.
He was great in The Frighteners.
Wait, did he play in The Frighteners?
Milton Dahmer's, the federal agent.
Oh, the guy who got his...
after Michael J. Fox.
Oh, God, that was hilarious. Yeah. And I love that one scene where he reaches in his coat, and everybody thinks he's going to pull a gun out, and he pulls out the little donut so he could sit on it.
Yes.
Oh, funny little story about this. I actually saw a clip. That was an interview with both Peter Jackson and Jeffrey about that. And apparently the little rubber donut was actually an inner tube for a wheelbarrow because they were thinking, this guy's been investigating sex cults and you know, God knows what for so many years that he's going to have kind of a problem sitting down, but they couldn't actually get a full size, you know, butt donut in his jacket. So he goes to Weta, and Weta comes up with this inner tube and he's like, go for it. And he said, oh, this is great.
That is hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
The other funny thing about that is, though, I was watching the clip. And I just saw it yesterday. It's a long story why I was watching it. But I'm listening. I've never heard Jeff just talk. I've always seen him in movies. I've never seen him actually do an interview. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, his accent sounds really familiar. Where do I know? He sounds like Jerry.
Really?
Oh, does he really? He sounds like Jerry?
He's from Northern California, so and I know that Jerry spent a lot of time up there, so maybe it's something regional.
Like, wow, like, man.
Well, it's just kind of like the little laid-back tone and you know, the tendency to use like and little pauses. It's like, yeah, it sounds like Jerry. This is kind of cool.
Now, see, Jerry, there you go. This could be a career opportunity for you to be the voice double.
No.
Of Jeffrey.
No, I want to be the voice double of Kermit the Frog.
Well,
crickets.
I was going to say, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming to Zombie Beach. We'll be back next week.
Well, my name is Melanie, and Jerry and I, along with Patrick and Stacy, host Don't Quit Your Day Job, the podcast. You can find us at dqydjpodcast.blogspot.com. You can call us at 206-666-4187, or you can send us email at dqydjpodcast@gmail.com. We welcome everybody from Zombie Beach, and we're going to be sending some more people over here ourselves starting Sunday.
Wow. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you guys very much for having me on the show. This was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, please know that you are welcome to set foot on our beach anytime.
I will do that. And once I finish my episode, I'm going to go off and watch Reanimator and just kind of wipe away the drool.
There you go.
Okay.
See you later.
I know what I think. Bye.
Bye. Piano players should do it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Zombie Beach. Remember, the stuff that you own ends up owning you. If you truly want to be free, you have to give up that stuff. It's holding you down. Seriously. You could send all your stuff to us. We'll take care of it for you. All proceeds will go toward recording further adventures of Zombie Beach, and probably some beer. To arrange donations of all your worldly goods, please call us at 972-535-5833 or email us at pod@zom.com. This week's featured song has been Honky Funky by Triplexity off their album Between Light and Shadow. Join us again next time here on Zombie Beach.
Original tunes, a lot of tunes like that.